I don't think it's much of a secret that Harps have been looking for an investor for quite some time now. I actually think that this third tier has maybe forced their hand a bit, and they sort of realise that, you know, current form and the squad, and, you know, they need to do something now, I feel. So I suppose, you know, this is, you know, I kind of hope this is more than just some kind of good news spin story, you know, that you know, that they're trying to get something positive out there, because there's very little that has been positive at the moment. But look, like I said, I think with the, they're seeing the difficulties of, you know, trying to get the squad together, trying to get, you know, improvements in the squad. You need someone to come in, you know, there needs to be big investment in that area. You know, there's been talk for a long, long time now about the ground and about, you know, updating the stadium and moving to the new stadium. Apparently the investor is going to come in and take care of that also. We're just hoping that, I think it's the 5th of July now is the kind of the date that's been set for the AGM, that, so that they're going to have this vote. And, you know, hopefully, you know, you sort of have to take a punt at some stage. Yes, there's, you know, a lot of horror stories with investors coming in and then, you know, spending money and, you know, and then kind of just like, you know, stepping away from it again and leaving even more debt. So I think it's, you know, unfortunately Harps are in a position where they have to do something, and, you know, this could be something really, really, really positive for the club, and, you know, it's something that is desperately needed.
So you think in terms of supporters that have supported the club for many, many years, most supporters you think would be for this investor coming in and see where it takes us?
I think so. I think when you see what's happening there at the moment, Mark, like there's very little to be excited about. You know, current league position, current league form, it's kind of as bad as it's going to be. I think that the reality is now with the introduction of the third tier, Harps could get relegated the way it's going. You know, if they can't unearth another Hans and Pongo now in the transfer window that, you know, did really well for them last season, then, you know, they are in real trouble come next year. And, like, you know, it just seems, you know, if you're looking at, you know, past results there and, you know, previous results, you know, it just seems that there's not a lot of fight in there at the moment, and, you know, it's difficult, and it's a slog, and, you know, they're dependent on young players, and, you know, you just see the way that they've sort of come back after the break, and, you know, a lot of question marks about, you know, how the squad has, you know, maybe conducted themselves during the break. The, you know, the way they've come back. Look, you've got a home game against, you know, a very good side in UCD. That's, I know that's 2 weeks ago, but, you know, that can have a real detrimental effect on a team. You know, 5-0 at home, you could see heads were down, you could see there wasn't a lot. Now, this is not from all players, but some players, you know, they would rather have been anywhere else that night. And, you know, gone down to Coven last week, which is, again, a difficult psychological trip in itself. A bit of fight down there, but it was soon extinguished, you know.
So that recent form, 3 defeats on the bounce with, as you say, a couple of heavy defeats in there that didn't look great aesthetically. Where do you think the recent dip in form has come from? Because there was shoots of positivity at the start of the season, but just before the break there and since the break, there hasn't been much to shout about. Where do you think that recent dip has come from, or what are the reasons behind that?
Well, again, you have to look around. Look, you have to look around the league, and you have to look at the squad, I suppose, that Harps currently have. And, you know, you have sprinkles of experience in there, but you haven't really got, I know, I suppose, kind of that hardened kind of, you know, League of Ireland player that when, you know, things aren't going right and things are difficult, that they, you know, they can put a positive within training. They can, you know, they can, you know, drag the group through certain, you know, phases of games and things like that there. But it just doesn't, they just don't seem to have that. You know, it's just watching, like, obviously we're trying to look at some positives. You look at Owen McHugh there, you know, his goal last week was absolutely fantastic. You know, it was a great turn of pace. You know, two co-defenders, Shane Griffin and Kane Coleman, you know, excellent defenders at that level. You know, he done really well against them, and a really cool finish for such a young man. You know, hard to believe he's only 16. So, like, that's a big positive that Harps have. You know, you have singling players out, you know, for criticism and that there, but you have to look at the experienced boys, and you have to, you know, they have to be kind of running that dressing room. They have to be, you know, maybe pointing a few fingers and putting pressure on certain people to say how you conducting yourself away from, you know, away from the training ground. What extra are you doing? You know, how you putting yourself in the best of in the best condition to be going out, you know, come a Friday night, because, you know, if that's not being done, then you can, you know, you can take a couple of hidings, and that just destroys a whole season. And, you know, I do feel that, you know, Kevin does protect the players a lot, and, you know, he kind of just, would go to, you know, the opposition and, you know, focus on their qualities rather than, you know, maybe what the team is lacking itself, you know.
So tomorrow night, it's a trip to the Midlands to face Athlone. Athlone's last win was actually against Finn Harps back in Balbafay back in April. So since then, they've had four draws and four defeats. Their form hasn't been great, really. So neither of these two teams are really in great form coming into this one.
No, neither. I think I was just looking at that as well, Mark. I think both have had one draw in their last five, you know. So there's not much. I do feel that, obviously, you know, Athlone at home, you know, they're a sticky opposition. You know, they have a good squad. They have decent players in there. Two all last time, I think last week against Wexford, you know, which is a decent result at home for them. Patrick Ferry picked up a goal, but then got himself, you know, sent off. So that's a positive for Harris because he's obviously a local lad, would have been up for that game. You know, they find themselves a kind of, you know, just a couple of places above Harris, but again, kind of becoming caught adrift of that top five. So yeah, look, it's going to be a difficult, again, it's a pick-me-up. There's a bit of a journey. There's a bit of traveling in there. But I think just they have to go back to basics, just go down there, be hard to beat. I think they've shipped 17 goals in their last five games. Like, that's a lot, you know, and so confidence is going to be low, but they have to stick together. They have to, you know, as they just be really hard to beat, you know, because if you have two home games coming up after that, and, you know, if they can just, you know, focus on getting, because I think one of the things we focused about or talked about, sorry, Mark, the last time I was on was the lack of goals scored. And now when you're conceding as many goals on the other side, you know, you've got a real problem. So I think it's back to basics, be difficult to beat, get people behind the ball, you know, be disciplined. And if you can nick one, I think that's what the focus has to be for this weekend.
Elsewhere in the division, leaders Cork play Bray, UCD host Cove, Wexford welcome Bottomside, Treaty to Ferry Carry Park, and Longford travel to play Kerry. We move on to the top flight. Derry City are back at the Brandywell. And before we talk about the football, Derry City as a club, they'll be delighted to get back to the Brandywell first and foremost.
Yeah, they will. You know, I think they will and they won't, Mark, as well. Like, you think the Derry City soap opera seems to just roll on, you know. Like, yeah, like, they, you know, they obviously had the, you know, kind of a poor start to the season, and then they, you know, they went to Celtic Park and, you know, did okay. You know, a couple of big, you know, their best performance of the season was there. Maybe they're just getting comfortable, and then now, you know, it's back down the road again. But look, it'll be a real, you know, if they can get off to a winning start there, and, you know, they can almost kind of hit the reset button, moving back. I just seen some pictures there online of, you know, of the new pitch, and, you know, hearing stuff about it. Looks a fantastic.
Yeah,
surface.
It looks great.
Looks really, really good. So, you know, you'll have that there. But again, it'll just be if they can, you know, come back there now, pick up 3 points this weekend, you know, it could kickstart something. Obviously, they have the European stuff coming up in July as well. So, you know, there's still a chance to, you know, to, I suppose, regain some positives there. Look, it just seems to be, you know, a bit of a soap opera so far.
We've been saying that for a couple of years about Derry, though. You think, right, they get a win, now they can kick on. And then just it seems to be one step forward, two steps back. And that seems to be going off the last couple of years, Keith.
Yeah, it does. And I suppose, you know, like, you kind of think when you look back to, you know, what they did last season, and, you know, you're thinking it was going to be a case where, right, you know, finishing second, you know, pushing Rovers quite far, and now you're like, you know, again, more signings come in, new faces through the door, big characters, you know, haven't really settled, you know, some people coming back in, you know, thinking it was going to be a certain way, then, you know, found out that it wasn't that way, and, you know, a lot of, again, finger pointing going on, you know, not many people taking responsibility for, you know, what is going on, again, pointing fingers around the club at board and about different things. So I think it's a case where, you know, again, just like I said, you're back now, new ground, everything looks fantastic. Let's just kind of forget what's happened previously. Look, they went and got a great point there in Tallaght on Monday night, you know, and, you know, possibly could have won the game, had some great chances, and then maybe could have lost it at the end. You know, Rovers had a great chance, and I think it was a corner the last couple of minutes of injury time. It just went wide of the post. So, look, there is some bright, you know, sparks in there. The fact that they'll get confidence from being able to go there and, you know, dig something out. But, yeah, look, I think just, you know, stuff that's going on in the dressing room and kind of behind the scenes, they just need to sort of forget it, try and give some back to the fans, you know, because I think they do sort of deserve some, you know, something to cling on to from the season so far.
So it's your old club, Drogheda United, the visitors tomorrow night. You'd have to think there'll be a big home support for the first game back at the Ray McBride Brandywell. And if you look at the table, it really is in must-win territory for Derry. They just cannot get dragged into that Drogheda-Galway-Sligo mix, and a defeat tomorrow night could, you know, see them slip back into that stuff, and that really, really is what they want to avoid.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you talk about, you know, it's the old adage where, you know, you're never good enough to go down, and, you know, a couple more defeats and you are going to be dragged into that, you know, scrap at the bottom. I think the last time Drogheda actually won a game was Derry back and back at the return fixture. I think it was a Ryan Brennan penalty late on that got the 3 points for Drogheda that night. Drogheda do well, and Derry do well against Derry. I think it was a 2-2 the last time that they played there earlier in the season. I think Derry were 2-2 in that game, and two goals in the second half for Drogheda, you know, got them a point. I think Mark Doyle is crucial for them. You know, the league's top scorer of the season so far with 9 goals. If he's firing on the night, and again, if Drogheda can sort of, you know, keep the crowd quiet early on, it definitely should bode well for them, and, you know, they might be able to pick up something.
Yeah, we'll kick off at the Brandywell is a 7:45 tomorrow night. Elsewhere, league leaders and champions Shamrock Rovers are at home to Galway United. Dundalk play Waterford, and Bohemians are at home to St Pat's. That game gets underway at 8:00. Just lastly, Keith, when I have you here, a word on the FIFA World Cup in the USA, Canada and Mexico. Have you enjoyed it so far? Have you caught much of it?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. You know, you're obviously getting the games, you know, some of the 6 o'clock games, the 8 o'clock games. You kind of feel sort of cheated because the ones are on the middle of the night, you know, and you're not really going to sit up or be up at 2 o'clock in the morning unless maybe Ireland had got there. But yeah, look, it's great having football on every day, you know, and, you know, some really good games. You know, some of the smaller nations, obviously we're all Cape Verde fans now because of Pico Lopez and how well he's done. So it's great to have an Irish interest in it as well. But yeah, look, it's exciting. It's, you know, it's all about, you know, watching the giant kilns, watching the smaller nations do well, and, you know, just watching some of the quality as well that some of the bigger teams have.
And the stars have shown up, the likes of Mbappe and Ronaldo and Haaland have all been among the goals. Can you pick a couple of teams that have maybe impressed you most, or would you fancy now that we're into 2 or 3 games in, is there a team that you fancy to go on and win the thing?
Yeah, look, there's been a lot of outstanding performances so far. You know, you left out the main man there, Messi, as well. You know, the evergreen, it just seems to, you know, just get better as he gets older. You know, the way that, you know, that Argentinian squad, or the Argentinian squad, just seemed to work for him. You know, and he just puts the cherry on top. Like, he's a phenomenal player.
He's such quality, dude. Some of the goals, the finish is just unreal.
It's just a level. You know, it just shows the different levels. You know, and like, so really impressed there. Obviously, the France have a great squad. You know, and Mbappe showing up as well is fantastic. And you just have the forward players that they can just rotate and bring on. You know, it's just like for like every time. You know, Haaland have shown up as well. You know, some good performances there. And obviously, you know, you stick Portugal in the mix. Look, it's just a, you know, it's a festival of football, obviously, and just so much quality on show. It'll be great now, you know, once you kind of, you know, get some of the group games out of the way, and, you know, some of the lesser teams will drop away, and you're in for a real some real quality fixtures, and yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Good stuff, Keith. Thanks very much for popping up into the studio to join us here on The Score, and we'll be talking to you again soon. All right.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.